Welcome to River of Life. This is a really special time, especially for the Jewish people. And if we understand the Jewish customs that the Lord laid out, it's important to know the time and the season that we're in. Amen? Amen, because our roots are in Jewish heritage. If it wasn't for the Jewish heritage and religion, we wouldn't be here today. Jesus was born King of the Jews. Amen? Amen. It was a Jewish woman that brought him in to this world. And so it's important to understand the time and the season we're in. We're so glad you're all here today. Thank you, Lord. And we're going to take a look at the atonement this morning, which is the time that we are in. It's a very solemn time, a very serious time. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this teaching this morning. We pray that the word of the Lord will quicken on the inside of every person listening here within our congregation and those that are on the internet and even those that will join us later on, even in this month, Father God. We pray that this word will penetrate and teach us, Holy Spirit, today. In Jesus' name, amen. So the Day of Atonement. Atonement provided a covering for sin. And I'd like to read for you from one of our School of Ministry classes just a short paragraph on what Yom Kippur is. Day of Atonement, the day the high priest makes atonement for sin. Yom Kippur, also known as the Day of Atonement, is the most solemn holy day of the Jewish people. Yom means day, and Kippur means atonement or covering. Atonement means the reconciliation of God and humankind. The 10 days, which include Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, are known as the days of repentance. Yom Kippur is the final day of judgment, when God judges the people. The shofar, the ram's horn, is blown at the end of the evening prayer service for the first time since Rosh Hashanah. In Bible times, the high priest sacrificed an animal to pay for his sins and the sins of the people. It was a time of fasting and prayer. When the high priest was finished with the atonement sacrifice, a goat was released into the wilderness. The scapegoat carried Israel's sins away, never to return. And you can find this in Leviticus 16, teaches us about the Day of Atonement. And all of this is a type and a shadow of the good things that was to come through Jesus Christ, our sacrifice. And I just wanted to read in Leviticus just a few verses before we get going. They're not on the PowerPoint, but you might want to take a note. It's Leviticus 16, verses 29 through 34. This shall be a statute forever for you. In the 7th month, on the 10th day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether a native of your own country or a stranger who dwells among you. For on the day the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It is a Sabbath of solemn rest for you, and you shall afflict your souls. It's a statute forever. And the priest who is anointed and consecrated to minister as priest in his father's place shall make atonement and put on the linen clothes, the holy garments. Then he shall make atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make atonement for the tabernacle of meeting and for the altar, and he shall make atonement for the priests and for all the people of the assembly. This shall be an everlasting statute for you to make atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses. So this is the season that we're in. This is a time of Yom Kippur. It's coming through the 10 days of repentance. And I believe this evening at sundown begins Yom Kippur, and it lasts 25 hours. In Hebrews 10, verses 3 and 4, the scripture says, "But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins." And so under the old covenant, there was a sacrifice made every year for the sins of the people. And then there was a scapegoat that they were put upon, and the scapegoat was sent out into the wilderness. And so every year they had to do this. There was no complete forgiveness for sins. The Bible gives the diagnosis of what is wrong with our human race, and the problem is sin. And the Bible gives the cure or the remedy for sin, and that is the atonement. In the New Testament, the central issue is taking away sin. In the Old Testament, sin was covered up, and so they had to do repeated sacrifices. And like I said, Colossians 2:17 says all of these things were a shadow of what was to come, the substance of Jesus Christ. So point number one, Jesus offered himself once for all. And that's the title of the message this morning, Once for All. Jesus Christ is our high priest. We're going to read Hebrews 7:27, if you'd like to read it with me. Unlike the other high priest, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. So atonement is about what God did for us. He built a bridge by the shed blood of Jesus Christ that we could come to him. And we know Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." So our salvation today is a precious gift from God. And we receive his salvation today. Leviticus 17:11. "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul." So when Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross, he made a way for us to the Father, and he provided the blood of Jesus for the cleansing of our soul, for the cleansing of our conscience, for the cleansing of our mind, our will, and our emotions. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 9:22 says, "And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." And so there, according to God's law, there had to be the shedding of blood for us to be forgiven of our sins. Atonement brings the one true living God and fallen man together. And you see, as the Jews celebrated this every year, and as they still do, they have the 10 days of repentance, and this is the final day. This is the day where God judges them. And this is the day that they believe, and I believe this is true every day for our lives, that we position ourselves for the year, for the day, for the week. When we walk before the Lord, cleansed by the blood of Jesus, we're positioning ourselves every day for him to interact with us and to direct our path. We need the help of Jesus every single day. We cannot make it without the Lord. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, tell me, where would I be? We need Jesus. So atonement means at-one-ment. at-one-ment, the atonement, the precious blood of Jesus brings us into relationship once again with our Heavenly Father. It causes us to be one with God the Father. So at-one-ment is the reconnecting and strengthening of our relationship with the Almighty God, and therefore the reconciliation of the Almighty with all of us. So Yom Kippur begins this evening through Monday evening, and Yom Kippur was the Old Testament Hebrews' opportunity to reunite with Almighty God, to have a fresh start, to position themselves for the new year. Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, is an opportunity to unite with God. And Yom Kippur can be summarized into one word, and that is repentance. Meaning to return. To return to at-one-ment with God. Atonement under the new covenant comes if you will repent. Turn from your sin. And it's more than just turning from your sin and going the other way. It actually means to change one's mind. Willpower is not enough. God has to change our minds about the way we see sin. It's about the way we view sin that is going on in our lives. Jeremiah 34, 15 through 16 says this, and I don't think this is on the PowerPoint. Jeremiah 34, 15 through 16. Then you recently turned and did what was right in my sight. Every man proclaiming liberty to his neighbor. And you made a covenant before me in the house which is called by my name. Then you turned around and profaned my name. You see, there has to be more than just a turning away, because we can easily turn back. You know, those old habits, those old thought patterns, they start coming back to us. We hear this voice enticing us, tempting us to turn around and to go back into the world and to do the things we used to be doing. Psalm 97:10 says, "You who love the Lord, hate evil." Tell your neighbor, hate evil. You see, we've got to see evil and sin the way God sees it. True repentance happens when we see sin as God sees it. Hurtful, hateful, prideful. And listen, church, every time we choose sin, we are telling God that sin fulfills us more than he does. Every time we choose sin, we're telling God that's more fulfilling to us. That's what we love more than we love him. And if you're struggling with sin, pray and ask God to help you see sin the way he sees it. If you're caught in a trap of addiction, whatever you're caught in, we all have these vices that trap us. No one is above anybody else. Come on, we are all humans, and we get caught in a trap. Our own desires lead us away. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. There's three categories there. It all falls into that, and we can all be hooked into that. So we want to be delivered from that. And it isn't a one-time deliverance. We have to ask God to help us to see sin the way he sees it. Whatever you're struggling in, Lord, give me your perspective. I want to hate this evil. I want to hate this sin. I know it's destructive to me. It's affecting my relationship with you because I'm choosing this over choosing you. God, why do I do that? Have you ever felt that? It's like, Lord, help me. We know the Apostle Paul felt that way. He said, what I want to do, I don't do. But what I know I shouldn't do, I keep doing it. So we ask God, Lord, help us. Because we cannot deliver ourselves out of that trap. We are dependent upon God. And the sooner we realize that we need His strength, we need His help, that we can do nothing except God helps us. We are not that strong. We are not that great. That is prideful. About the time you think, I can just do this myself, you'll find out. Amen? Let's read Acts 17, 29 through 30. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So on Yom Kippur, the Hebrews read the book of Jonah. And the lesson is that God accepts repentance just as He did with the people of Nineveh. The people of Nineveh were very sinful people. They were very evil and very wicked. And you all know the story of Jonah. He didn't want to go there. He did not want to go there. He tried to avoid his assignment from God. He did not want to go to Nineveh. But God got him there. Amen? And in Jonah 3:5, it says, the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. And they repented. And God forgave them and saved them. And I think Jonah was shocked that they repented. Sometimes it surprises people when you change, right? They're like, I can't believe that. You're not the way you used to be. Tell somebody, I'm so glad I'm not the way I used to be. It's a good thing. Okay, point number two, putting away sin. Hebrews 9:28. Let's read it together. Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. Jesus offered Himself through the eternal Spirit to God the Father. And that's in Hebrews 9:13-14. Let's read that together. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer sprinkle unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Ask God to cleanse your conscience so that you will see sin as He sees it. This is what the blood is for. This is what God's Word says. And God's Word is true. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Someone say, praise the Lord. Woo! We're looking for that second appearing. Thank you, Lord. Gives us hope. Amen. So unique and central to the Christian faith is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it anchors the Christian faith to history. Third point. We were given a commandment, and that was to preach Christ crucified. I'm going to read the verse that comes before this. For since in the wisdom of God, The world, through wisdom, did not know God. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. So let's read this verse. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. It may seem foolish to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ crucified. He gave his life for each one of us that we might live. Jesus Christ took our sin upon him. He took our punishment on him so that we did not have to receive that punishment of eternal damnation and separation from God. We serve an awesome God who gave his son for us, who shed his blood for us. We don't want to let the blood of Jesus go to waste. Like the work of the cross didn't mean anything. You know, the work of the cross accomplished everything that we need to live godly. He's made us overcomers because he overcame. We receive his righteousness because he was righteous. All of these things need to become real on the inside of us. This is not just a story. This is not something that's just been told for years that doesn't have any effect. This is the power of Jesus Christ crucified upon the cross for you and I. It's the only thing that will save us. It is what the world needs. As the world is raging right now, as people are angry and manifesting, they need Jesus. Jesus fights our battles. You know, yesterday was the return in Washington, D.C. Did anyone get to watch that? Powerful time of prayer and intercession with thousands of Christians repenting for the sins of this nation and crying out to God to have mercy and to release his grace and release a revival upon this nation to deliver us from our sins. We need Jesus. I believe God will answer from heaven. I believe we're going to see. I believe we've already been seeing God hearing the prayers of the intercessors. God put together a group of intercessors over the last 30 years. He has been organizing his church worldwide, and they have been crying out and interceding on behalf of the nations. God loves the nations. So Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice. Let's read Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Complete forever. Perfected forever, or all time, means that Christ has fully, he completely earned salvation for you and I. Completely. No question mark. So we look to Jesus Christ for the cleansing of our conscience, for the saving of our soul, for forgiveness of sins. We are being sanctified. It's progressive. We're growing. We're changing. We're becoming more like Jesus Christ. Every day we should be becoming more like Jesus Christ. He's at work in us. I always encourage people when they can't see God moving to trust that He is. You don't always see a miracle getting ready to happen, do you? Most of the time the miracle comes and it's like, wow, I didn't see that coming. But thank you, Lord. But God's been at work all the time. We just don't always see Him moving. Let's read Hebrews. Okay. We did. And I've got more scriptures here. Yeah. I'm going to read a couple of other scriptures. Hebrews 2:10 through 11 says, "For it was fitting for Him, for whom all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both He who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. For which reason He is not ashamed to call them brethren." We are brothers and sisters with Jesus Christ. God saw it fitting for Him to be sacrificed upon the cross, to endure those sufferings, to give us salvation, to birth sons of glory. The earth is crying out right now for the sons of God to be manifested. Wherever we go every day, we should be manifesting the presence of the Almighty God. It's not something we have to manufacture, but when you've been with God and you've been in His Word, God flows out of you in ways that you don't see. He moves in you and works with you and surround you with your presence, and you're not even aware of everything that you are releasing and what is happening. Has anyone ever witnessed that? I'm telling you, it happens. It happens because that's how God works. Because then God gets the glory. Amen. So some things to think about as we're going into this Yom Kippur is, what did the cross do for you? Just think about that. What did the cross do for you? Another thought to think about is, what must the cross do in you? Christ did many things for us, but there's a work that happens in us. Philippians tells us in the second chapter, verses 12 and 13, that we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and do His good pleasure. And so we have a responsibility when we receive this great salvation and we're forgiven of our sins, then we let God work. He works out the old. And He brings in the new. We're created a new person in Christ Jesus. The scripture says old things pass away. You've got to let them pass away. You've got to let them die. Don't revive them again and give them resuscitation. Let Him go. Hallelujah. And we work out that salvation with fear and trembling. Because we are the only one that can cooperate with God to work that out. Your mom can't do it for you. Your dad can't do it for you. Your parents might have done a lot of things for you, but this is one thing that you've got to do yourself, is to become intimate with the Lord Jesus Christ and let Him get into those areas of your heart. We have things we hide, things we don't want to share, we don't want to talk about, and that's okay. There are things you don't want to talk about to people, but you cannot hide from God. God will be in your stuff. He will be in your life if you let Him. And if we refuse it, well, then you just go back around the mountain and God brings it up again. And you go back around the mountain and God brings it up again. Until you say, yes, Lord, have your way in my life. I hate sin as much as you hate sin, God. Show me. Change my patterns, my thought patterns, so that I see what you see. I want to see what you see. God's got the big picture. He's got the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's read 2 Chronicles together. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So Heavenly Father, we thank you that in this time of atonement, of repentance, Lord, we ask for forgiveness of our sins. We ask for the forgiveness of the sins of this church and our family here. And Lord God, we ask you, Lord, to have mercy upon us. God, as we repent before you and align ourselves, Father God, align us. Lord, make us willing. Give us willing hearts to surrender to you. Lord, to serve you, to serve one another, to do what is right in your sight. And Lord, those that feel like they've drifted away, Lord, we pray for them this morning, God. Lord, that you reach into the depths of their heart today. And Lord, you soften their hearts. And Lord, we thank you for the atonement that bridges that gap, Lord, because of the shed blood of Jesus. We thank you for the power that's in the blood. We thank you, Lord. Give us a revelation and understanding of the power that's in the blood of Jesus that was shed for each one of us. Lord, we thank you that you're sprinkling us this morning. You're sprinkling us, Lord God. You're sprinkling us with the precious blood of Jesus, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the sprinkling of the blood to cleanse our conscience, to cleanse our souls today, Lord. Father, I thank you for the work that you've done, for the work that you're doing, and for the work you will continue to do as we humble ourselves, as we pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways. Lord, I thank you that you hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you that we do not have to be afraid of the things that are coming upon the earth. We have nothing to fear because the Lord goes before us and fights our battles. Thank you, Lord. I picked this up. This is the word of the Lord for 2020. Prophetic insights and decrees for 2020. And the Lord kept nudging me to get it out and reread the word that I submitted for this year. And I just wanted to, we have just a few minutes, I just wanted to share a few highlights because I believe the word of the Lord is relevant to what is going on right now in our country. And What inspired me, of course, is the Holy Spirit to write this word. But this was actually a word I submitted in 2013. The Lord showed me this word, shared with me in 2013. And he said, get it out and release it again. Sometimes as a prophet, you release it again. God reminds you again. And he said, release it over the territory. And so that's what I did at a prayer meeting in November 30th of 2019. But I just wanted to share a few things. I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, he's releasing his full measure. And I believe he's releasing this to present truth churches, to his ecclesia that teach restoration truths and govern through prayer. We are to pray and decree over the body of Christ to be rooted and grounded in his love so that God's power is released according to Ephesians 3, 16 to 21. For we are rooted and grounded together in love. We have power together, and we know his love that surpasses knowledge, so that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So it is the love of God that roots us and grounds us together as the body of Christ. Love is the uniting factor. We cannot manufacture unity. Many people have tried to manufacture unity, but unity is from the Spirit, and God is Spirit, and God is love. So it is by love that God begins to unite the body of Christ together. And we have seen God cause the body of Christ to reach out to each other across denominational lines, across nations, to be rooted and grounded. The unity of the faith is key to receiving his full measure. I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, I'm completing the maturation of my bride, and it will be in the midst of turbulent times in the world. The Lord was speaking this in 2013. And as we've come into these turbulent times, it is in the midst of difficult times that you mature. I believe we will experience and witness great contrast in the world between the manifestation of the kingdom of light and the manifestation of the kingdom of darkness. This is what we see going on. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me in July of 2012 that life as we know it in America would change drastically. I have been asking the Lord to drastically change us, the body of Christ, so that we are prepared for what is coming upon the earth. You see, if God is going to allow things to drastically change, then that means we need to drastically change to be prepared for what God is doing. We have taken on a new wineskin. God doesn't pour new wine into old vessels. So as you've been pliable and allowed God to work in your life and to show you what he's doing, God changes us so that we are ready for whatever we're facing. I hear the Lord say that his love will manifest in and through his church with signs, wonders, and miracles that give life and hope. He is the God of hope, and he will give us hope, and he will release hope through us to cause people to feel alive in him. People just want to feel life. Death is surrounding us. We are in a culture of death. We saw that creep into our culture, that spirit of death, that culture of death. It's manifested in movies and books. We see people acted out constantly. God's a spirit of life. He came to give us life abundantly. We release life. You are life givers. You are life givers. Tell your neighbor, you are a life giver. The word goes on and says, but in the world, there will be great distress, psychological pressures, because of the increase of murder, violence, and hatred from the kingdom of darkness. Is that not what we see right now in this nation? There will be gross darkness over the people, but our light will shine brighter. Isaiah 60. For Jesus is the light of the world, and he will draw all people to him. So even though things are getting worse, they look horrible, the light is greater that shines. We are to be a beacon on a hill. The Lord encouraged me that the saints will walk in the full measure of God. You see, our expectation has to be out there, church, that we are walking in the full measure. Jesus gave his life so we would have a full measure, not just a half a cup. You see, our cups to be full and running over. He gives us more. Yeah, give him a praise. He gives us more than enough. Thank you, Lord. I heard the Lord say to renew our minds with his truth that he is more than enough. So when it looks like there's lack in your life, you say, my God is more than enough. Sometimes you have to just speak it out into the atmosphere. Say it at your house. Say it at your workplace. Hey, my God is more than enough. Yes, Lord, he's given us the full measure. Thank you, Lord. The Lord said, stand upon my truth and decree over your situations that our God is able to do more than we ask or imagine by the power that works in us. You got to speak it out. You got to release the power. Words have power. Words have power. By your words, you're justified, and by your words, you're condemned. Words have power. I found myself saying some things, and I'll say, oh, wait a minute. No. I take that back. I plead the blood of Jesus over it. That word is null and void in Jesus' name. And we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, who loves us. You see, when we gather together, it's a time of encouraging each other that you're more than a conqueror. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. It looks like you're not going to make it. You feel like you're not going to make it. But you have a brother or sister in Christ that is there to stand with you. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Don't give up. That's why we gather together, to encourage each other. And Jesus said to come together more as we see the day approaching, because he knew how dark and evil this world would become. Gross darkness. The body of Christ will experience the full measure of his love according to Ephesians 4:13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children. You see, this is a maturation time. It is the maturing of the ecclesia. It is the maturing of the bride of Christ. Jesus said, I am coming for a bride, a glorious bride, without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. Yeah, you see, when we hear a bad report, it doesn't throw us overboard anymore. We don't go into panic and anxiety because of what we just heard. No, because we're rooted and grounded in the love of God, and He's stabilizing us. And we won't be carried away with every wind of doctrine. I don't believe everything I hear. Come on. If it does not line up with the Word of God, or God has not confirmed it, then you know what? I keep praying. I'm not going to say that it's an absolute untruth. You know, there are some things, especially when it comes to the Word of God, that you may not believe at first, but as God teaches you, it's like, oh, now I understand that. Before I didn't quite see it like that. So we're growing in those things, but don't believe everything you hear. I think there was a whole group of people that said Jesus was coming last week. You did hear that too? Yeah. He didn't come, but He will still come. Hallelujah. That's right. When the last trumpet sounds, at the twinkling of an eye, we'll all be caught up to meet Him in the air. Woo! Yeah, Pastor Leonard, he's going to get that verse and read it to us. It says that we won't be carried away by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There are people waiting to deceive you. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we thank You for this word. Lord, that You show us things to come. Sometimes we just have to go back and look at what You are speaking to the ecclesia to remember, Lord, that You are preparing us. You have prepared us. Tell your neighbor, you're prepared for this time. You are prepared because God has prepared you. He went on and shared with me some things, and we'll talk about that another time. But I was in Cancun for the last full moon of 2019, and it was seen on 12/12, and the peak of that full moon was at 12/12. And I believe the Lord was speaking to us. He talks to us through the sun, moon, and stars and the heavenlies. There'll be signs in the heavenlies. We can ignore them. Or we can say, Lord, what are You showing us in Your heavenlies? Very significant numbers. 12, 12, 12, 12. Hallelujah. But we'll talk about that another time because it's getting late. And I can hear your stomachs growling. So let's just seal this prophetic word. If you'd like a copy of it, I can print it off for you. Father, we just thank You for our River of Life family, for all those who are listening. Lord, we thank You for Your word that gives us life and hope, Lord. Father, I thank You're anointing every person today to carry life. Wherever they go, to carry the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.